Thanks, Barry. Good morning, everybody. I trust that you guys are doing well. To those few, for the others, by the end of the service, we're going to pray for you. You're going to be well because Jesus loves you. And awkward silences. Don't we love those? So firstly, to all the, if this is your first time here, we'd just like to say welcome. As you heard, my name is Milo. I'm one of the elders here at Josh Chen Durbanville AM, and I am married to one woman. And she's finally in the service when I preach. And so I've got a note here, beware what you say. So let's get started. I'm gonna jump right into it, and let's see what God has got on our hearts. You see, John came up and he shared a message during a word where he just felt the scripture in Philippians where it's like, "May your love abound," and he carried on reading, and there was this phrase that said, "More and more." And I want to touch on that today, of how do we live our lives in this context of more and more. But it's actually going to be a little bit of work for us. How many of you guys are in the mood for work? Thank you. Yes, all of you. Yeah. See those spiritual hands. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1. This is what it says. Paul is writing to one of the first churches he planted, and he's writing this letter. He had to leave really suddenly when he was there in the book of Acts. So he's writing this letter. He wants to find out how they are doing. He gets feedback from Timothy that says, hey, things are going really well at this church. And so we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 4, and he writes, "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live your life, to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this," what? Sounds like a biscuit, doesn't it? More and more. And Paul writes and he goes, "I've gotten feedback from someone I really trust about how you are doing. And you guys are doing really well. The way we encourage you guys to live this life in Christ, you are doing that." But then he goes, "But we ask you," no wait, "we urge you." Now that word urge, have you looked it up in the dictionary? It doesn't give you much. It's just like to strongly ask. And I wanted to ask, like, now how do you strongly ask? Now my wife, I went to her because she's more English than I am. And I asked, like, how do you urge someone in asking? Do you shout at them like we shout at our kids? And she went, "No." I'm like, "Now explain it to me." It's like you have to be passionately asking people to do something. And this is what Paul is doing. He's urging the church to not just live their lives as they are, because, guys, it is good. What they're doing is amazing. But he's asking you, can we step it up a little? Can you live a little bit more beyond who you are? What you are doing to outdo yourselves more than what is expected of you, can you live that life? And that is similar to what John shared with us in the book of Philippians. Paul is writing to that church and he goes, "May your love abound not just enough, but more than enough." So as a church, as people that believe in Jesus, we need to live this life, not just going through the motions. Now, how many of you guys really enjoyed worship? Worship was amazing. I could spend the rest of this hour just worshiping. But there's more to that. There is so much more. And so I felt that this was something that we had to start doing. We had the men's weekend last weekend. We had the women's weekend a month ago. And there was this whole thing of lives being changed, but we need to live more than expected. And so what we're going to do is we're going to unpack this, because I asked God in our time of praying for the men, how do we live this life? I mean, it can't be the same after an encounter, but what do we do to live through the breakthrough that we have? And he pointed me to a specific scripture. And for those who don't know, I was born in the 90s. So I love music. And I understand that there is a song for every situation in your life. Like, let me give you an example. At home, we've got these two steps that lead out our house. And one day I was walking with my wife to the car, and somehow I missed the last step. And in slow motion, I looked at her as I went down. But in slow motion, I saw the smile on her face. Guys, my face hit the ground, and all you heard was, oof. And my wife leans down, and you know what she says? Nothing. She laughs. And she goes, here's the soundtrack, babe. Another one bites the dust. And she just laughs at me. You see, there's a song for every situation or season in life. Like, people normally, when they climb into elevators, they leave you a parcel. And you walk in there and you go, whoa, the force is strong with that one. And the song that always plays in my head is, did you have to let it linger? I know, right? It's just crazy. But I have to build into how I get myself. So now you guys understand how my mind works. So I'm asking God, listen, how do I share this? And he gives me this title. Also from a 90s song, Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It. You guys got it. Eh? So in order for us, there's always these questions, like we get up and we preach and we teach and we ask you guys to live a specific way. And the question is, how do we do it? And in the words of Montel, this is how we do it. But let's just pray before we get going. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And we pray that it's your word that will change our lives. That it's your word that will spur us on for more. Where we need it to change things. Do what only you can do, and that's change us from the inside out. Holy Spirit, come and top us up. Fill us up in Jesus' name. Amen. See, I was, as elders, we are very desperate to see lives change. We don't want people to stay the same. That is why we do what we do, so that we can introduce people to the one true living God. But not only that, we want to take you beyond that. So we get into community and we encourage each other and we walk roads with each other. And it's all about seeing our lives change. And so he took me to this passage in the book of 2 Kings. And I'm going to ask you guys to turn with me there quickly. And we're going to read chapter 9. We're only going to do the first three verses, but I encourage you to go and read up until verse 13 when you get a chance. And where we are in the story, in the Bible, King Ahab and his wife Jezebel are ruling Israel. And they were wicked people. And God put things into place to see his people be set free from them. And so we pick up in 2 Kings 9 verse 1, and it says this, the prophet Elisha summoned a man from the company of the prophets and said to him, tuck your cloak into your belt, take this flask of olive oil with you, and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you get there, look for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go to him, get him away from his companions, and take him into an inner room. Then take the flask and pour the oil on his head and declare, this is what the Lord says, I anoint you king over Israel. Then open the door and run. Don't delay. We've got this specific thing that we do in our house. And for those who do not know, we used to lead a church, and we incorporated this into our church as well. Whenever there was information that needed to be carried across, especially with our kids, we would call them together and get them in a huddle. And then we'd tell them exactly what needs to be done. We made sure that they knew what needed to be done. And then I'd ask them, okay, are you ready? And they'd look me in the eye and they'd go, yes, we are. And we get serious. We put our hands together. We'll rub them. And I'll go, 1, 2, 3, break. And then we'll clap. Can we try that quickly? So it's 1, 2, 3, break, clap. So you're clapping on 4. I've got to explain that, because what we did was, if you didn't clap properly, you do the dishes. And our kids hate doing dishes. And even though we have a dishwasher, that's the penalty. Okay, so it's 1, 2, 3, break. Oh, you guys are amazing. And so the reason I tell you why we do this is because as we look at this passage, and as I was reading through, and I was contending to see lives being transformed and people actually live through the breakthrough that they've experienced over those 2 weekends and every weekend since. When you come to church and you have an encounter with God, there's a breakthrough. And so I wanted to make sure, like, Lord, how do we live through that breakthrough? And with that clap, the thing about the clap is you give information. And the moment you make that sound, everybody knows, okay, I've got to leave where I am. And I've got to go and do what I need to do. Get the information, understand the mission, break, and move. You can't break and stand still, because that defeats the purpose. Because when you get information, there is something that you actually need to do. In my house, the kids scramble, they get everything, they run to the car. In the church, everybody breaks and they go to where they need to be. And it's the same that we need to do in this life we have, living as believers in community, where we come together and we experience breakthrough. We cannot stay where we are. There needs to be this process of moving. So, while reading this, the Holy Spirit showed me 3 things that we need to break in order for us to continue walking a life of breakthrough. The first thing that happens in this passage is Elisha tells the guy, you need to take Jehu away from his companions. So the first thing that we need to do is break away. You have to break away. You see, Jehu was one of the commanders of the armies, and they were in battle at that moment. And they were sitting there, and what do you do when you are, if you're on a sports field, what do you talk about? You talk about the game. Hey, when you're at home, what do you talk about? You talk about things that are happening at home. When you're out with friends, you talk about the things that have interest. And here they are probably chatting about what has been happening in battle and what they need to do. So they are very comfortable where they are. And Elisha tells the prophet, get Jehu, but he needs to break away from what he is familiar with. And that's the first thing that we need to do as we live through this life of breakthrough, is that we have to break away. I love Star Wars movies. Anybody else? Any Star Trek fans? If there is space, I love it. Let me explain it to you why. I love things that are not of the ordinary. So don't give me anything where people fall in love. It's too mushy. Even Fast and the Furious, you know, I can like, oh, episode 45 is okay. But I love things where you watch it and you go, that is amazing how someone thought up something and created a new world. Hey, I like watch Lord of the Rings and I'm like, some dude sat down and thought a monster was going to look like that. And that inside of me is how I break away as someone that's creative, that loves creativity. I can't see color, but that is very creative. My breaking away is watching things that are out of the ordinary, that aren't ordinary. Why? It's so that I can get recalibrated and more excited about what I do as I create stuff. So breaking away is going to look different for each and every one of us. You know, I've learned some really cool Afrikaans words since coming to Cape Town. Pantoffel. For those who don't know, that means slipper, right? Yeah. And then komkommer. Cucumber. But the best phrase I've ever learned was mensmoeg. Mensmoeg. Direct translations means people tired. It's like when you've had a busy day at work and there's just been people around you and I just need to break away and be on my own. A lot of us break away for different reasons. Break away to rejuvenate. Break away to just recalibrate. Some of us actually need to break away from things that are bad for us. But yet in the scripture, we have to break away from what is comfortable. On Sunday mornings, we have prayer at 9 a.m. That is when church starts. Now, I know you guys are comfortable being at home at that time. But maybe we have to break away from what is comfortable to us in order for us to see the breakthrough that God has already put us in so that we can walk it out a little bit more. Because if we look back to Thessalonians, it says, what you're doing is amazing, but can you do it more and more? Beyond where you are at this moment. So maybe you need to break away from how you think about yourself. We have opportunities for you to stretch your faith. So ask God, God, give me a word to share amongst your people. Give me the opportunity to pray for someone. Some of us are way too comfortable around the other people, the other Christians in our church. It's like, hey, that one will do it. We're waiting on that one. Actually, maybe we're waiting on you to break away from what is normal and keeping you back. So the first thing that we need to do is break away. Maybe we have to break away from old habits. Maybe we have to actually break away from certain friends. But let me tell you this. maybe you just have to risk it. There's a story in the Bible about a guy that tried to do the impossible. And you know what happened? He did it. His name is Peter. And there's the story of him walking on water. Why? Because he saw Jesus and he was like, if that is you, call me. It was his idea. He would have been safe in the boat. Why? Because Jesus was near. But he decided, I am going to break away from what is comfortable. Why? I don't know why he did it. But for us in this context, him breaking away gives us encouragement to say, hey, I'm going to risk it because God's got me. I'm going to risk it because even though I've asked for my breakthrough and I don't know how to live this, if I just take a step, he's going to be there. So we're never going to know what we are able to do in this life if we don't break away. The second thing that we need to break is we need to break in. I was thinking of an illustration. I was like, maybe I should tell them when I broke into the house. I'm like, nah, it's not going to go down nicely. I'm going to see people breaking into their own houses. It's going to be weird. But I have this one story. So my wife and I will be married for 17 years this year. Yes. Feels like I got married yesterday. And at the same time, it feels, oh, so long. But it is amazing because not everybody will laugh at someone when they get hurt like my family does. So things are good. But I can remember there was a time before we got married, and I was a very stubborn person. You're not supposed to nod. I was a very stubborn person, and we got into a heated argument because she's very fiery, and she wouldn't see it my way. And so I just threw my toys out the cart, climbed in my car, and I drove away. Oh, yes, not cool. Don't ever do that. I did repent. But I wasn't even at home 5 seconds when this little Palio pulled up screeching because she pulled up the handbrakes the way she was in such a hurry to get to me. She stops, and I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. She's like, you will talk to me. And I walked into my house, and my parents were there. She's like, hey, Mom, I'm after him. And she's like, and everybody just backs away, and she goes into my space where I am, and she says, if you don't change your ways now. As you know, ways got changed. But this is what I'm trying to say. I put up a shell and I didn't want anybody to chat to me at that moment, but she knew what I didn't. And she had to break into my space because it was tight, it was tough, it was hard, but she said, not today, Satan. And she broke in. And she made sure she gets into my space so that I can come to the realization that I was wrong. And so what the guy, the prophet does here with Jehu, he goes, okay, we're going to break away from what you used to and comfortable with, but we're going to break into something new. We're going to break into the inner room, a room where no one can see you. We call this, we're breaking into the presence of God. Because this is the place where Jehu gets anointed and commissioned. But you've got to understand this. In 1 Kings 19, a whole different prophet lifetime ago with Elijah, God speaks to him and says, you need to anoint Jehu king because he's going to rid the house of Ahab and Jezebel. So we need to understand this. Even though we have our breakthrough, we've got to break into his presence. Because what God has in store for us, he's already spoken back then, but he needs to commission us, but he'll only tell it to us when we are silent. When we get into that secret place, when we get into that place where it's only him and us. I'm constantly reminded of that verse in Jeremiah 29:11, God telling him, "For I know the plans I have for you." Here we see it. He knew the plans he had for Jehu. He knows the plans he has for you. God's not confused. He doesn't forget. But if we want plans to unfold, we need to break in. It's not enough that we get our breakthrough and we just carry on with life. We need to get our breakthrough, break away, and then we need to what? Break in so that we can hear what he has to say. Because if we want to live differently, there's got to be something that we do to hear differently. I understand that for some of us, breaking into his presence can be difficult. It's getting cold. No one wants to wake up. I've got kids. I don't sleep. What I read is like, oh. There's never enough time in the day. There's all these things. But that's why we need to break in. When it's hard, you break in. When it's easy, you step in. But when you find it tough to spend time with God, you need to break into something. Break into a time of worship, break into a time of praise. But can I tell you something? We need to break into his presence. And then the last thing. So you have to break away. You have to break in. And then the last one is you got to break out. In that last verse of 2 Kings, it says this, "Then open the door and run. Don't delay." Have you guys ever played Stuck in the Mud? Who remembers that game, Stuck in the Mud? For those that didn't put up your hands, youth, have you heard of a game called Stuck in the Mud? Have your parents ever told you about that game? Have you played that game? I don't believe you. But in any case, so for those who don't know, Stuck in the Mud is this game where you have a whole lot of people in a very small area and one person is it. And this person that is it runs around and tags the next person that is open and that person goes stuck in the mud, can't move. And the only way you can move again is if someone comes to you that is not tagged and puts their foot between your feet. I know, it's weird. What comes up with these games? And then once they do that, you are free. And can I tell you something? I've never seen anybody being freed in Stuck of the Mud and just stand still. They bolt, man. It's like something out of a cartoon. It's just like, they move. Even the slowest person puts on the gas, man. They're like, yeah, not that kind of gas. But, you know, just they run. And this is something that I shared at the men's time. When you experience breakthrough, you've got to break out from where you are. You can't expect to walk in freedom if you stay stuck in the place you've been freed from. You aren't free if you stay there. You are free to leave. But you need to move. I've got to let you know, God will do what he can to bring you your breakthrough because he's God. But we need to step into it. We need to accept it. And how do you know when someone's free is when they walk away from what is holding them back? I use this illustration that there's this A different illustration. Fleas. How many of you guys like them? No one. Okay. But everybody, have you heard about the experiment that a flea can jump up to 20 centimeters high for something that no one can see? So really small can jump really high. But if you put a flea in a jar for 3 weeks, the lid becomes its cap of how high it will jump. You take the lid off, you let the flea out, you know what? It stays at the height that the lid limited at. But something even more interesting, all its offspring will also jump that high. Because of the limit that was placed on the parent, the offspring will do the same. So I need you to understand this. What you've been saved and set free from, you need to walk away. Because there's this danger that we get so comfortable in our familiar territory that those that come after us could get stuck there as well. So we need to, 1, 2, 3, break. It's a work in progress. But this is the thing. You've got to move. You can't stay where you were. You've got to move. And so these are the three things that the Lord highlighted to me as I read the passage. We need to break away from what is normal, from what is holding us back, from what is limiting us, and break into His presence, because where there is Jesus, there's freedom. And when we get that freedom, when we understand that, we need to break out. We can't stay there anymore. John 8:10. There's a lady that was caught in adultery. Her life was over. Everybody knows, if you don't know the story, in Jewish law, if you're caught committing adultery, penalty is death. And it has to be done by more than one witness. So somehow, this woman gets caught. She gets dragged in front of Jesus, and they asked him to condemn her to death. And he challenges everybody around them. If you're without sin, you be the first to execute judgment. And when they heard this, they started walking away. And in verse 10 of John 8, this is what happens. It says, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And these are profound words. And Jesus said, neither do I. The creator of the universe goes, I don't judge you. There's forgiveness here by me. But then there's a commission. Don't stay in this place. You can't stay here, first of all, because you're not dressed. But also, don't stay in the life that you have lived. You need to what? Go. Go. Move from where you are. Go and sin no more. Break out from where you are. Breakthrough comes from Jesus, who the Son sets free. It's free indeed. You are free, but you've got to go. You've got to walk out your freedom. You've got to walk into your freedom. So going back to Thessalonians, this is how we live a life changed, and that is transformed daily, where we live more and more in a way that pleases God is if you break away, break in, and then break out. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for just the way you love us. And as we sit here, we know that it's only through you, firstly, that we can be connected to the Father, but only you can take us through every day. It's only you that can bless. It's only you that can give us the love that we need. It's only you that can fill the hole and the void that we have inside of us. And so, Father, we pray. And firstly, we say thank you for the breakthrough that we've experienced in our lives collectively as we sit here. Thank you for all the testimonies. Thank you for all the stories. And we pray, Lord, do it again. But Father, I pray that where we have received breakthrough, but we have stood still, and we find ourselves fighting that same thing over and over, we ask that you forgive us. I pray that we will take a step forward and move away from the place that we found ourselves in. Even the prodigal son had to break out of the pigsty and start moving back to his dad. And so, Father, I pray that we will never stand still in the place of condemnation, shame, guilt, hurt, lies, brokenness. I pray that you will do work in our lives and that we will walk away from what that was and step into all that you have for us. But I also want to take this moment right now. It all starts with Jesus. He is the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can bring breakthrough. And so what I want to do right now is I want to just take a few moments and give everybody an opportunity. If you don't know this Jesus that I know, then we'll go to the cross and pay the price so that we may be free. And everything after that is just to strengthen us and take us from one place to the next and deeper into the knowledge of who God is. If you don't know him, I want to give you that opportunity to become part of the family. So I'm going to ask, with everybody's eyes just closed, if you want Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, if you've never made a decision to follow him, can I ask you to just lift your hands? I just want to see who I'm praying with, praying for. If you have never made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life and you want to, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Come on, amazing, amazing. I see that hand. But I'm also going to ask, if you have drifted away and you are here just for the motions and you go, Lord, I really need you in my life. If you feel, man, I need to recommit my life as well, can I ask you to lift your hand as well? We would love to. Come on. Come on. I see that hand. And we're going to pray for you. I'm just going to linger here. If there's anybody else, can I ask us all to stand? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. What we're going to do now is, if you raised your hand, I would like to invite you to the front. And what we're going to do is, I don't want you to come alone. I want you to bring someone with you. If it's a family member, if it's just someone sitting next to you, I would like to encourage you to come to the front. We all want to pray with you. So if that was you that made a decision, can I ask you, can you just come on? Come on. And I'm going to ask some of our leaders to come out with them, and we're going to pray for you now. But I'm going to ask everybody else, we're not going to rush off, because after this, come on, this is the youngest one that raised her hand today. Now we've got to do something, and I really don't want to offend anybody. But if this offends you, you've got to get used to it. It says when someone makes a decision to follow Jesus, the heavens roar. So we can't come here and be somber. We've got people that were in darkness and God brought them into the light through His Spirit. So we, come on. So good. So what we're going to do, we're going to pray with these people, and then afterwards we're going to have communion, and then we're going to pray for each other. But can I ask you to just, can we stand in agreement with these amazing people? And so everybody, can I ask you to pray this prayer with me quickly? Lord Jesus, I come before you today, and I need you in my life. By faith, I believe you died on the cross for my sin.
I believe you died on the cross for my sin.
So I repent now of it.
So I repent now of it.
And I ask you to forgive me.
And I ask you to forgive me.
And I believe in faith.
And I believe in faith.
That you are risen again and victorious.
You are risen again and victorious.
You are my victory.
You are my victory.
Please be Lord and Savior of my life.
Please be Lord and Savior of my life.
I give it to you.
I give it to you.
Lead me. And guide me, I pray.
Guide me, I pray.
Amen. 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 Can we celebrate them one last time?